Gang, this is episode 234 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony. Sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, with a lot on his mind, is my pal, DeQuincy.
Hey, everybody. You're damn right. I got some crapping. I got something to get off my chest today.
Woo!
There's a scourge going across America these days. All right. You may not have seen it, Anthony. The people listening may not have seen it, but I've seen it. Saw it today, you know, get in my car. It's 105 degrees outside. It's 116 degrees inside the car. That is not a joke. I get to HEB. You know, I'm looking around, looking to find something for dinner, me and the family. And then I see it. I see the scourge, the bane of my existence. Do you want to know what that is?
What is that?
Pumpkin spice.
Already.
It's in HEB, it's in Kroger, it's in Randall's, it's already sweeping the nation. Here I sit August 15th, and I can't take it. I can't take it. It is too early. Fall has not hit at all anywhere in America. We live in a world of global warming and climate change because the people who could do something by climate change completely refuse to. So this is our new normal, where summer lasts for 6 months out of the year. It's over 100 degrees for 6-7 weeks straight. This is just our new normal. And how dare these grocery companies, these food companies, they peddle this filth, this pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice beer, pumpkin spice frosted flakes, pumpkin spice waffles, pancakes, what have you. And they're already in our stores. You will see it next time you go to them, and you will want to knock the whole damn shelving over. It's disgusting. It makes me sick to my stomach, and I cannot stand it.
Well, I do happen to have to go to the store after we finish recording, so I will definitely be on the lookout for all of it. But man, I'm glad we needed this kind of. I haven't heard this kind of passion from you in a while. It's been a bit.
I took a picture of it at when I was at Randall's a couple of days ago. Let's see what's on the picture. Pumpkin spice Cheerios, pumpkins. They got Reese's Puffs cereal, but it's not pumpkin spice. But the puffs are in the shape of bats. Pumpkins. Pumpkin pie Pop-Tarts, pumpkin spice Special K, pumpkin spice Frosted Flakes, like I said, pumpkin spice Green Mountain iced coffee. It's a scourge. I'm also being informed that Wendy's is coming out with a pumpkin spice Frosty for fall. It's I can't even talk. Ah. I'm befuddled. I'm flabbergasted. Pumpkin spice is too damn early. We're not done with summer yet. Summer is going to be here for another 6 weeks.
At least.
I looked up on the weather app on my phone and saw it's supposed to get to like 95 next Monday. And I was like, oh God, reprieve.
Right.
You tell me we got pumpkin spice out here? We used to be a proper country, Anthony.
Right. Man, I tell you, I know what you mean, because it's too, for me at least, I don't really, like, it doesn't hit me when I see it so early as much. But what bothers me is that it's too much. Like, they start putting it in their coffee, right? Fine. I don't drink a lot of those types of coffees. Nine times out of ten, I'm drinking just a cup of black coffee.
See, and that's the problem. We sit on the sidelines and we do nothing. What all
Right.
it takes for evil to succeed is for good men and women to do nothing, and we've done nothing for too long against the scourge of pumpkin spice.
It's like not voting.
We
Yeah,
are
no.
pumpkin spice has put this country in a gulag, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I will agree with you on that, because for me it's too much, too much. Three different cereals you mentioned. Come on, man. At least three. I think you said three.
For now,
Popcorn.
this is just the opening volley. It was Cheerios, Special K, and Frosted Flakes. So that's three. That's just the beginning. If
All of which I enjoy.
I see pumpkin spice, cinnamon toast crunch, I know we failed as a country, and I will fall to my knees in the store and weep uncontrollably. That's it. Once it's it'd be like the meme of the guy talking to President Bush during 9/11, it'd be like, oh, sir, CTC has fallen.
Right. You know what really grinds my gears? What product grinds my gears?
Talk to me.
And I love all types of cherry sodas. But when they introduced cherry Dr. Pepper,
Oh.
I was excited and then immediately disappointed and angry. Because you know why? You know what cherry Dr. Pepper tastes like?
What? I'd never had it.
Dr. Pepper. Regular Dr. Pepper.
Oh, you're saying they pulled the wool over your eyes.
There's no need to say there's cherry in it.
Just a bunch of lies going around the world today. I tell you, people, that's going to be the theme of our podcast, just people lying in your face. And one person who feels like that this week was one James Harden, who was over in Hong Kong. No, Hong Kong. He was over in China for, I think it was an Adidas media event, and had this is first off, he was in the perfect place because
The
the people in
perfect dude. I was like, man, this is interesting. And then I saw where he was at when he did what he did, and I was like, this makes a lot of sense.
You can say many things about James Harden. He loves the scrippers and he loves wings, but you can't say the boy ain't smart because he picked the perfect place to go off this rant about Sixers president Daryl Morey. And he said, and I quote, "Daryl Morey is a liar and I will never be part of an organization that he's a part of." Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar and I will never be part of an organization that he is part of. He had to make sure
End
that.
quote.
He had to make sure, yeah, he was up there like the preacher, like the pastor. He's like, y'all don't hear me. I gotta say it again. God is good and Daryl Morey is a liar.
China is good and Daryl Morey is a liar.
Can say that the FBI might be listening. They're gonna be knocking on your door soon. China is what?
So this all started because the 70, well, I mean, look, he's been unhappy for a while now. The 76ers announced over the
He's been
weekend.
unhappy for a while and at multiple places. He was
Yes,
unhappy in
yes.
Houston, unhappy in Brooklyn. Now he's unhappy in Philadelphia. I'm like, brother, my brother in Christ, it may just be you. Might be time to
Right.
it might be time to get that therapy up.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
This most recent, bout of disgruntledness, I think he saw that he wasn't going to get a max deal anywhere else. It was unlikely to get a max deal. So he opted in for his final year of the contract with Philadelphia. And then he demanded a trade. And I think Philly was willing to explore trade partners. But then over the weekend, this past weekend, they pulled him off the table. They pulled him back and said, we want him or we expect him to, you know, suit up for the Philadelphia 76ers for the 2023-2024 season.
Yeah.
And
the Sixers
set it all off. The rest is history.
The Sixers had the same problem with Harden that the Blazers are having right now with Dame Lillard. Once you announce you only want to go to one team, it makes trading you very difficult.
Yes.
And to go back to your original point where you're talking about James Harden's max deal, the thing, we still don't know what he's saying Daryl Morey lied about. It could be Daryl Morey lied about trading him. But also, if you remember, when he signed that little like mini extension with the Sixers, he took a very under-market deal. So they can bring in other former Rockets players like PJ Tucker and what's his name? House, the sexual pervert of the bubble. So I don't know if he was saying that, oh, Morey lied because he saves, if I take this under market deal, they're going to pay me later. Or if he lied, say, oh, he lied because he didn't trade me to the Clippers. I would like to know what the lie is so I know my level of outrage.
Right. I mean, it would help, you know, it would definitely help his cause, I think. I think because for the most part, you know, most people side with the player, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they get paid a lot of money, but they still don't get paid as much as owners and, you know, high-level executives and things like that, people that control and run the league. So for the most part, people will side with the player. James Harden's the kind of guy that I don't know if people are willing to side with him anymore.
Yeah, because I was about to ask the same question. Like, do you want to side with James Harden, noted jackass when it comes to not getting his way, or do you want to side with noted nerd and computer geek Daryl Morey? I feel like it's a lose-lose situation.
Right. And if there was more context to as to what, you know, what Morey was a liar about, then yeah, I think it helps, you know, clear up that situation. It clears, you know, the path for public opinion to sway, you know.
I think we're not going to – I think we're either never going to find out or they're going to come out and say, oh, he's upset about the trade. Because if it comes out that Daryl Morey promised James Harden a sweetheart deal, he's losing his job and the Sixers are getting fined the kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
And probably lose some draft picks as well. That's highly illegal under the CBA. Highly. This is going to be interesting to watch because we've seen James Harden act a fool when he wants to get traded somewhere.
Yeah.
He's got the fat suit hanging up somewhere
in one of his matches.
The man quickly
puts on and puts off 30 pounds before and after a trade.
Yeah, he's going to show up to Sixers media day, the first practice, whatever. A nice 270, 280.
Right. Two handfuls of Trill burgers.
Yeah. I still gotta get some of those. Oh, did you hear they're selling those at Reliant now?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I think Kyle McNair made the announcement today they're gonna be selling those to the Texans games.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
I know they've been selling them at the Dynamo games at the now Shell. The newest name for the soccer stadium where the Dynamo play. It's gone through like 8 different name changes in like 3 years, I believe. I can't keep up.
It was BBVA for a second there. And then they got bought by
PNC.
Yeah, PNC. And I'm too lazy to Google what the soccer. Oh, speaking of soccer, aka football, I want you to know that I jumped in on the Premier League.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. have something to watch. Might be because I'm interested in a little, expanding my palate. Might be because I took a Washington Post quiz that said find out what premier team you should be rooting for, and I got Man U. Yeah.
Oh,
So yeah, we're a big Man U. I was Googling to see who their enemies are. We're hating on Man City, Arsenal, all y'all garbage. Hate on y'all.
It's a Man U household.
Yes, Man U household. Do I know any of the players' name, any of their positions? No, but I'm just jumping on the I'm jumping on the boat, both feet firmly planted.
Jumping on the boat of that indie band
Yeah,
that
but they go out sad and they lose 7-0 like they did earlier this year against the team. I'm hopping off the bandwagon into fan free agency. What you doing
Man
over
U.
it?
There you go.
I have no loyalty to you.
Let me ask you this. Are you enjoying soccer?
I learned that I enjoy soccer and hockey when it's played by the best of the best. So I've enjoyed it watching the Premier League. I watched the first game. We won 1-0, by the way. Yes, right. Nil on the
Oh,
pitch.
we
Yeah, on
right.
the pitch with our nice kits,
Oh,
our beautiful kits.
man,
Yeah, we're getting all the lingo up in here.
that
But yeah. Also, thank God for like the ability to rewind stuff, because you can put on the football game and just walk away, and then something exciting happens. You can just hop back 15, 20 seconds and see. Yeah. But back to this story, like all we can do is sit and watch and see how big of a stank James Harden is going to make.
Yeah, I mean, it's like who, like, what happens? Like, what is the end game? Because I don't think he can threaten to sit out. I don't think he wants to, like, he already took a pay cut. I don't think he wants to lose out on the money that he, the pay cut that he already took.
All he can do is, like I say, act a fool. Like he's not gonna sit out and get fined. He still needs to play the show any team that wants, well, the Clippers, not any team, to show the
Right.
Clippers that he's serious about this. And honestly, the 76ers need him to play so they can, show off his wares, be like, hey, anybody want to trade him? Like, say there's a team that I heard that would make sense, although I don't know they would actually want to get involved with the whole shenanigans that follow James Harden, and that's the Boston Celtics.
Wow.
This is just like fans putting it together. I don't know. They have some pieces they can move, and putting him at point guard would make things easier for their two superstars, what's his name, Brown and Tatum.
Maybe you do ship him out to Boston with his propensity for acting a fool. It might be the smartest move that Billy could make. They could.
Did you do that on purpose?
What?
There's a song called Shipping Up to Boston. That's why I'm asking.
No, I did not
Okay,
know.
okay.
And mess up that chemistry over there.
Don't know, but we shall see. Let's move on to another set of liars, allegedly.
Woo.
Once again, I'm so glad that we did not do a podcast this weekend. We would have missed all this fun stuff.
Yeah.
So the story came out yesterday, Monday. Retired NFL star Michael Orr, who's adopt I'm sorry, let me adoption out of pro out of poverty by this wealthy white family called the Tuoi. Tuoi,
Hey.
that's one. Tuoi,
Two.
Tuoi. I'm gonna call him Tuoi. That was immortalized in the 2009 movie The Blind Side. he basically petitioned the Tennessee court with allegations that, hey, those people never adopted him, never legally adopted, and they put him under a conservatorship similar to what Britney Spears has been under for the past decade, where basically they were in charge of his finances. He's saying 3 months after he turned 18, the couple tricked him into signing a document making his conservators and never legally adopt him, even though they've been saying for years that they're one of their, that you know they're he's his third their third child. Or also claims they got nothing for the Blind Side movie. He said that both parents got paid, and even the biological children of the Tuohys got paid. He got nothing out of that. Did you ever see that movie? Oh, okay. So apparently, so much of that movie was bullshit to make it a white savior movie.
Really? Well, what a shock.
Yeah, because it made it seem like he was a step up from radio. What's his name?
Oh,
Yeah.
no, they didn't.
Yeah, like he was
No.
just dumb and slightly mentally challenged and couldn't do anything. When
Oh my
if
God.
like they put, and in the movie they like they put him into football, they put him on sports, and it's like no, he was already playing football and everything. Like the problem with him is like Orr's mother was a what's the polite, I don't want to say, oh, she was a drug user, but you know she used
An
to do drugs.
addict?
Yeah, she was an addict. Thank you. I could not remember.
Recovering or full blown?
At the time, I think she was full blown. So basically, he was moving from place to place. But here you go. Here you go. Orr was one of 12 children born to his mother who struggled with drug addiction. Before his 11th birthday, Orr was placed into foster care where he bounced around numerous times and at times lived on the street. Although he was a capable student, he attended 11 schools in 9 years and repeated both the first and second grade, leaving him behind academically. Well, if your mother is on that stuff, well, it's no shock that you had to repeat grades in your younger age. Let's see, Orr began attending this private Christian school in the 10th grade. Even as his home life remained chaotic, he was a sports prodigy, excelling in track and field, basketball, football. And so in real life, it wasn't like this family got him involved in football. He was already playing football and was one of the nation's top offensive linemen in school before the Tullys ever
Right.
got a hold of him.
And I mean that makes sense considering like
Two old ones.
he wound up
Hey,
going
Tully's.
to Ole Miss, right?
University of Mississippi, yeah.
Yeah, played for Ole Miss. What I've heard is that his that that family were they were boosters of Ole Miss.
University of Mississippi. I'm not sure that's the same as Ole Miss.
Is it?
I don't
Yeah,
know.
it is.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. My bad. It shows how little I pay attention to college sports. Continue, good sir. ESPN calls it University of Mississippi. I'm gonna call it University of Mississippi.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, okay, then University of Mississippi.
Yeah, in fact, that was the 2-0's alma mater, Matt. That was their school.
Right, they were boosters for the school. And I just heard this morning on the radio. I haven't read anything about it. And that to, in order to get him to play at the university, he couldn't be adopted by the family, I think, because he was already over 18. But he apparently had to sign that they convinced him to sign the conservatorship. So it's a matter of did he know back then that he was signing a conservatorship or did he not?
It sounds like
If he's saying that he didn't know, And they're saying that he did know.
Well, here's the thing about that. If they're saying he did know, all they gotta do is provide the paperwork because it would show it,
Right.
whether it was adoption or conservatorship. Also, they're explaining this on The Athletic, and it says, according to Tennessee law, you can be adopted once you turn 18. It says, when the petitioner seeks to adopt a person who is 18 years of age or older, only the sworn written consent of the person sought to be adopted shall be acquired, and no order of reference or any home studies need be issued.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Their case isn't looking good.
If they had adopted him, basically they wouldn't have any rights or any hold over his money because he would be a legal adult at 18.
So how long did they have? How long is he claiming that they had control of his money into his NFL career?
I believe is into his NFL career because he did not look at the he really didn't look into the paperwork, the adoption slash conservative paperwork, whatever it is, we don't really fully know for sure. He didn't look into it after he retired from the NFL. Because then he looked at it and then took it to a lawyer, and the lawyer was like, "What the fuck is this?" It's so crazy because I remember him saying after the Blind Side came out, one part of it was like in the movie, he comes over to the house and the woman, Mrs. the one played by Sandra Bullock, it's like, "Oh, here's a bed." And he's like, "Oh, I never had a bed before." And in real life, Michael Moore's like, "I had a fucking bed. Come on now." And he's like, "Pete, thanks to that movie, people assume like, even NFL like head coaches, GMs, they assumed he was like mentally slow or not a leader." And he said this to ESPN back in 2015. "People look at me and they take things away from me because of a movie. They don't see the skills and the kind of player I am."
Right. That, I mean, look, that sucks. That sucks out of anything that, your life is document or it's portrayed on screen as less than, because there's, look, there are plenty of stories of people with, learning disabilities and challenges and things like that. But those people, because that's the truth about them. And if that's not the case, I have no idea about the movie. I never saw the movie, didn't know anything about the story. I mean, I'm laughing or I'm chuckling in disgust that they would do that to anybody. But that's Hollywood for you, man. I mean, that is their bread and butter to, tear down someone's humanity.
And present a true story that's like 10%
Right.
truth.
And I
That's why
also read.
in front of the when the movie started, it always says based on a true story and not is this is the true telling.
Right.
Because they gotta make it, Hollywood, they gotta make it a drama. If you come into the movie and you see that Michael Orr was already an intelligent super athlete, it's not as an enduring movie as this black child had nothing and his white family took him in and made him and built him up to be this first round pick and Super Bowl champion,
Right.
I think I see the two olds. The family has made a response. The response today in the New York Post.
That's where you go to make a response if you want to be taken seriously.
So, or Michael Orr said that he never got any money from the Blind Side. Everybody else got money except him. And the lawyer for the family says, over the years, The family has given Mr. Orr an equal cut of every penny earned from the blind side. Even recently, Mr. Orr started to threaten them about what he would do unless they paid him an eight-figure windfall as part of that shakedown effort. I'm sorry. And as part of that shakedown effort, refused to cash the small profit checks from the family. They still deposit Mr. Orr's equal share into a trust fund they sell for his son. So they're saying this is a shakedown for $18 million. I'm like, do y'all have that money? Because.
Yeah, because I'm reading on ESPN. The movie paid the Tuohys and their two birth children each $225,000 plus 2.5% of the film's defined net proceeds. The movie became a critically acclaimed blockbuster, reportedly grossing more than $300 million at the box office and tens of millions of dollars more in home video sales. The film received an Oscar nomination for Best Picture, and Sandra Bullock won the Best Actress trophy for her portrayal of the lady Leanne. While the deal allowed the Tuohys to profit from the film, the petition alleges a separate 2007 contract, reportedly signed by Orr, appears to give away 20th Century Fox Studios the life rights to a story without any payment whatsoever.
That's not surprising. Movie studios
Yeah.
dirty all the time. We are literally seeing this right now.
Yeah.
Also, what I find fishy is this part right here. So the deal that all the family members basically signed with Fox, it lists all four family members, all the biological ones, having the same representative as CAA. But Orr's agent, who received movie contract and payment notices, is listed as Deborah Brennan, a close family friend of the two Orrs, and the same lawyer who filed the 2004 conservators petition. This seems a little fishy to me.
Yeah.
This seems like, oh yeah, you can trust us. Look, you know us. You know Deborah. You know we're all family here. Sure, you can sign your name. You can put your name here. We're adopting you. Say it once, say it again. You can't be trusting these friendly white people, man.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a black person with any kind of athletic ability. You can't be trusting these friendly whites, man. This is all I gotta say about it. The paperwork was filed in 2004, so there's records, there's copies of it. Produce that, and we'll be able to see if it's an adoption or it's conservatorship. Because if
Yeah,
your
go ahead.
friend Deborah Brennan, the one who did everything, and she's a lawyer, so she would know about the law in Tennessee that says it's completely legal for an 18-year-old to be adopted.
And what's more annoying, or just adding on to what annoys me about this whole situation is, instead of going to the New York Post and telling how sorry, or how not sorry, how hurt you are by it, just show the papers, show the paperwork, so everybody can move on. It's as simple as that. If everything is up on the up and up, like you say it is, where are the documents? Show them, and let's all move on. We don't have to talk about this anymore. You talk about all the stress it's been causing your family. Now that it's out in the open, now that it's out public, the quickest thing to do would be to show them the papers and move on. That way, nobody's talking about it, nobody's interviewing you, nobody cares, and everybody can move on.
And
And
if you
unfortunately, for if it's true, then Michael Orr, unfortunately, will have to just move on and find another way to deal with the situation. But to This can all go away if you just show the evidence that you maintain you have.
You say you adopted him to show it. And don't try to turn around and be like, oh, we couldn't legally adopt him, you know, because that's not what happened in the damn movie. In the movie, you adopted him. You've been running around here for 20 some years saying that he's your adopted child. So prove it. If you have the paperwork, prove it. It's a, like you said, it's as simple as that. This should take no longer than a week. Because say right here, Orr didn't take the time to fully investigate the deal until after he retired in 2016. He hired a lawyer who helped him uncover the details about the movie deal and to leak a connection to the people he believed who were his adoptive parents. His lawyer unearthed a conservatorship document in February. I gotta say, there would be no name to the feeling I would be feeling about him, like rage, betrayal. Like you thought these people had your best interests in mind. You thought you were family. You thought you had actually found people who care about you through thick and thin, even though you weren't blood, they were down for you. And to find out that it was all just a lie for these already rich people to get their claws into you, get into your story, into your ability as a football player. It's y'all better lawyer up, because the only way y'all gonna hear from me. But yeah, you're 100% right. Just show the paperwork. That's all we need to see. If y'all lying, give that man his money. Right. So you may think we're done with liars, but we got one more whopper that.
Woo
This.
woo.
So I'm gonna start off by saying this is an ongoing legal predicament, and this is even more treacherous than the Michael Orr situation. So we're gonna try to do this as delicately as we can. We're getting all the kids' gloves because it involves some nasty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So this news came out on Sunday. There was a post in Spanish. Shout out to my Spanish friends who translated for me, y'all the real ones, alleging that shortstop, Tampa Bay shortstop Wander Franco,
You didn't call me?
huh? Can't, sometimes I'd be I, you be a little
Okay, here
iffy.
we go. Let's just get it out.
We go good. I know some Hispanics that can speak perfect Spanish, and some who don't know a lick of it. I know which side of the fence you fell on, my friend.
Right.
I didn't want to offend. You would have been like, "Oh, now you think I speak Spanish because I look like this, huh, Essay?" I didn't want no problems. I went to my go-to. I went to my real mijos. All right, mijos and mijas. I
Okay.
went to my real ones.
Okay. Fair enough.
So the post alleges that Tampa Bay shortstop Wander Franco had and was engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a minor. Now, Franco was off on that Sunday. He had a routine day off. As of now, he's been put on the restricted list, which was a mutual decision with the Rays and Franco. He's on it for the remainder of the sixth game road trip that Tampa Bay's on. He's not on administrative leave. That's a leave that the Major League Baseball will put him on, a sign that investigation is really picking up, and probably a
Right.
sign that he wouldn't be playing anymore this season. Because you remember, the
I'm still getting
administration,
paid.
So we're getting paid. You're getting paid through all this because it's not a suspension. We went through this with Trevor Bauer, former MLB nasty man. The administrative leave, it's 7 days, but they can keep expanding it or extending it. Right. Apologies. So he hasn't been put on that right now. He's just on the restricted list. Tentatively scheduled to come back when the Rays come back into town on August 22nd. We'll see. But all we know right now is there's allegations about him being inappropriate with a minor in the Dominican Republic. The craziest thing I think I saw on Sunday was the Rays had a giveaway. Did you see the giveaway?
Yeah, I did.
The giveaway was like a Wander Franco hat for children 14 and younger.
Yep.
And I was like, of course, the universe works in weird and wacky ways.
Jeez, I mean,
and that probably be the only joke I make about this situation, because
it's the only thing I'm laughing at. I'm kind of laughing.
There is nothing like funny about this. Like at best for Franco, at best of the situation, it is just a woman trying to play with him and get accusations of, like, she was trying to get money from him. He said no, and now she's going to ruin his reputation by putting his accusation down. That's at best. At right. worst, this man deserves prison. And
yeah,
when I say at best, I mean at best for him. Like, I want to make sure that no one's out there thinking that I think that, like, I'm fully 100% on the believe all victims until proven otherwise. Because I just went through this with Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez. And I'm like, thank God the little midget got all 10 years. So right now we're just taking the story as is.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't look good. Because I also saw on social media, and take this with a grain of salt, that another minor had came forward in the Dominican Republic with an accusation.
Right. Yeah, see, I mean, this is the... this is where it's going to... I mean, this is where it's really going to get muddied, because... you know, nothing is official as to what is really going on, right?
Right.
Like MLB said, we're investigating something.
Mm-hmm.
While without saying exactly what it is, they just said, we're looking into something that with this player, you know, they're not really totally getting into specifics. I don't think, or at least the first thing I saw was that, you know, that was the first thing that I saw, that they weren't, you know, that they were looking into something. It just, you know, really what muddies the whole thing is that whether the investigation is ongoing, you know, whatever the extent of the investigation is by baseball and by the Tampa Bay Rays, there is still a lack of criminal allegations. I think if a criminal allegation is filed, you know, if a criminal charge is filed, mm-hmm. then it makes everything clearer and more, it makes things easier for, you know, these organizations to make decisions and to provide support, distance themselves, whatever it may be, you know, cut the money off, whatever. So I mean, really, all we can do right now is still just kind of wait. And there's so many different things that we're seeing, you know, that are being posted as well. So.
I saw this being posted. Well, so once again, this is from social media. Take it with a huge grain of salt. This is not.
And also, it was might have been translated.
Yeah. So yeah, translations, you know, get iffy. It's crazy. 2023 and translations still wonky at times. So I saw that. I'm gonna say right now, like I said, take this with a grain of salt. It's unverified. It comes from Twitter. So this is from John Mincone. He was talking to a friend of a friend. They were, and the person was told this. So apparently, Wander Franco was dating the shorty before she was 13 and he was 17. Both families agreed to a relationship, and he stopped messing with her once he turned 18, and said he wasn't going to the Dominican Republic to see her until she turned 18. This is still not good. May not be illegal, but fuck him. And that's the statement. That's the screenshot text message that we got from. So that sounds plausible,
Yes.
but like the guy said in the text, it's still not good. If you're 17 and you're messing with a girl before she turned 13, that means she's 12. That's a 7 year difference.
Five years, he was
I'm
17.
sorry, I'm doing math. I'm doing math wrong.
Still not, I
That's
mean,
five.
it's still not great.
It's not great either way. You're going into your senior year of high school messing around with what, an eighth grader? Seventh grader? Not great, pal. Not great. I honestly don't think he comes back this baseball. The rest of the season, he's out. And in the grand scheme of things, that's very unimportant. But considering what we are nominally a sports podcast. You know, we talk about a
Right.
lot of stuff. Like, that's what we can talk about. Like, I don't think he's going to be playing for the Rays for the rest of the season because the block is too hot right now.
Yeah, and
And honestly, like, he already got this one allegation. There's another minor who alleges the same thing. He may not play baseball ever again.
man. And he just signed that $182 million, potentially $230 million contract last year.
I'll tell you right now, every story, every article on the Athletic right now, you can read the story and they have locked the comments. They are not
Of
taking
course.
any chance. They said, y'all gonna act a fool? No, thank you.
Yeah, man. It is, look, bottom line is, well, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel? How do you feel if part of this is true, right? If she's
If like
12, 13 years old, he's 17 years old, and both families in, look, in Dominican Republic, the culture is different than what we're probably used to in the United States, right? If at that time,
not that di different. There are
not
certain
drastically different,
there
but
are some states where like 13-year-olds can get married.
right.
Or there were. I think they finally outlawed law that's that in like Alabama, Mississippi, like this year.
Okay, so then what you and I are used to then, okay?
Yes.
What we were probably raised on, what we probably saw around us growing up. How do you feel if both parental parties were in agreement, and if he actually did stay away once he turned 18?
It's still icky.
It's still icky. Right.
Like there's no upside. It's not like us, like we're both in our late 30s. So if
Mid.
okay, I'm 37. I believe that's official. That's the beginning of late 30s. So all
Okay.
right. So Mr. Mid, what are you, 36?
35.
All right, you're 35. So if you and if I'm we're go we're out together and you introduce me to your new woman and she's 30, you know, that's not a big
Right.
that's not a big age
Legal.
difference. That's legal. She's also an adult. Her mind is fully developed. She make her decisions. You're gonna sit here and tell me a 17-year-old with all the hormones and mental development that's going on there, and it's okay for her to okay for that person to date a 12-year-old? Like, think of a 12-year-old.
Right.
Like,
So
think how
bottom.
immature a 12-year-old is. Think how they're still children. And you're the 17-year-old. That's like, my mind cannot think about that and be like, oh, that's okay. It's like, I don't give a fuck if everybody in the family, both families were 100% okay with the signed documents and shit. I would still say, oh, you're creepy as fuck and I don't want you around me.
Right. So that's the thing. It's like it's a no-win situation for Wanda Franco at this point. Because even if that part is true, in the eyes of most people, present company included, that's a gross situation to be a part of and to approve of, right? So that's a bad look right there. It's like you're not gonna like, okay, well, sure, your family's all gave the okay, but you know what? We're still not cool with that. And that's a no-win situation there. And then let's say nothing was on the up and up, and it really is a legal issue where, the worst case scenario of this whole situation. That's a no-win situation for this guy either. I mean, this is, I hate to use buzzwords and things like that, but really the optics of the whole situation do not look good
None of this looks good.
whatsoever.
He looks like the nastiest of nasty man. Like he's if this is true, if he's out here messing with minors, he's taking the nasty man crown from Bauer
Right.
and usurped his throne. Like I don't understand like if any of this is true. Like he was 17-year-old messing with 12-year-old. Let's say that's the best situation. And Emma B's like, okay, that was disgusting, but not illegal. You can come back. Like, I don't feel comfortable with you in the clubhouse if I'm a teammate. Especially if I got like a younger sister. Or
Not even.
I'm one of the older players and I have like a 12 or 13-year-old daughter. Like, I don't feel comfortable with you around my family, man.
And yeah, I mean, if there are some older veterans on the team, which I don't know who all is on the team, but then you also have to look at the coaching staff. I mean, if anybody, it's the coaches and non-player personnel that might have children around that age that they probably bring around all the time. And now all of a sudden, nope, my kid's not coming around. We're
Yeah,
done.
I can't trust you, man. That's over.
It man, it's a very, it's not a great situation. It's not a great look whatsoever.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
Anything that is.
Because the problem is, even if nothing that he's done is
Illegal.
deemed illegal through the courts, through a court system, whether it's here, whether it's in the Dominican Republic, it's still not a good look. It's still a really bad look.
I say all the time, just because it's not legal, don't mean it's not bad.
Correct.
slavery used to be legal in this country. Disgusting act.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that minimum wage is $7.25, completely illegal. Disgusting act if you're paying people that low of a wage to survive.
Man, and the thing, the other thing is, like, this didn't happen all that long ago. I mean, Wanda Franco is only 22 years old currently.
Yeah, this happened like when he got signed to the Rays as a amateur free agent.
Yeah.
Because he was signed, I believe, at 16. Nasty work.
Yeah.
All right. So let's end on a lighter note, a happier note.
There we go.
We're going to stay in the world of baseball. I don't know if you pay attention to Astros fans online and their complaints about Dustin Baker.
See it from time to time on the periphery. Yeah.
It's another example of how Twitter isn't real, because if you go to the ballpark and interact with people, they love that man and everyone's happy.
Right.
It's just the loud, vocal minority online that has a problem.
Yeah, it's safe. It's safe to be critical online.
Yeah. You have all the answers. You would do everything right, you know.
You all have all the experience.
Yeah, all your moves will work 100%. You wouldn't make any mistakes, blah, blah, blah. So I'm sending you something. It's for baseball reference. I want you to click over that link. So I told you before we started the podcast, I had two thoughts on Dusty Baker. One hot take and one flaming hot take.
Woo, woo, woo.
Right. So let's start with the hot take. My hot take about Dusty Baker is that he should be in the running for AL Manager of the Year.
That's not as hot a take as I would think, man. This team is
they're currently 68-52 as of this recording. They've dealt with injuries, ineffectiveness, a blazing hot Rangers team. And you look at this team, they just took 2 or 3 away from Baltimore. They're only 3.5 games back from the Rangers. And like I said, the Rangers have had the Cinderella season from heaven. Meanwhile, the Astros coming off World Series, the WBC were like, I think, 4 of their 5 starting rotation was pitching. Everything has gone wrong. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. And right. Like, they're still 16 games over 500 in wild card position right now. Oh, and that give me something else I can bitch about. Why the fuck are people complaining about the Astros only winning the wild card? Like, out of all the teams that are in the American League, this is the one team that can go from the wild card position all the way to a World Series.
They've done it.
They have. Who else? Who in this American League scares you? The Orioles, the Rays, Blue Jays, the Twins, the Rangers. Like, the Rangers. I'm malfunctioning. The Rangers. Why y'all are so scared of the Rangers? This is crazy to me. The Rangers, their biggest postseason moment is being one strike away from winning the World Series and blowing it, and you're scared of this. They have two guys at the end of their bullpen that the Astros know they can get hits off, and that's Will Smith and what's his name? The lefty. Pitch for the Yankees.
I cannot remember. Oh, Chapman.
Yeah, Chapman.
Aroldis
Chapman. They know they can get hits off the guys. So why are you guys so every time the Astros lose, like, I just go on a blocking spree because I'm so tired of the yellow belly cowards. That's what y'all are. Y'all are fucking cowards if you don't think this team can win it all from the World Series. And if you're so scared of the Rangers, then you might as well just quit, because you think the Astros can't beat the Rangers, and obviously you think the Astros can't beat the Braves, who are the Rangers who ate a Super Mario mushroom.
Right. And I've actually won a World Series, like, recently. Like, they know what it takes to win a title in this decade.
I'm just like, they're just so, it's, Astros fans online become so fucking spoiled. They're spoiled, they're cowards, and it's a tinge of racism as well.
Sure.
I every Astro team member, all 26 of those guys will run through a wall for Dusty Baker. They all said one of the biggest reasons they wanted to win the World Series last year was so Dusty could get his one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to turn around and say that he lost control of the clubhouse. He doesn't know what he's doing. Fuck you. Like, fuck you. Because it's gotten past stupid, and now it's like, okay, now you're just being fucking racist. There's no other way that you can be this upset about lineup decisions, this upset about who's in, who's out, this upset about pitching changes. You're just pissed off about everything. You're either fucking stupid or fucking racist. Pick one.
Right.
And either one means that you are not deserving of my time. Fuck out of here. Can you imagine what they'd be doing if the Astros had a season like the Mets are having right now? If the Astros were 11 game Ooh. Under 500? Or if they are having the season that the Padres are having?
Oh, yeah. All that money they spent.
If you would swear to God that the Astros were floating around 500.
Yeah.
It's just cowardly bitches, racist assholes, and I'm just fucking sick and tired of it. And that leads me to my scorching, flaming hot take about Dusty Baker.
Mm.
Dusty Baker, to me, is without a doubt the best manager that the Astros have ever had in their entire history. And I sent you that list. I sent you a list that shows every manager the Astros ever had. And I'm willing to sit here and have this discussion if you think there's someone better.
Man, it's hard to argue. It really is. Even though it would make the episode much more interesting if we did have a debate.
I think me calling out Astros fans and calling them coward, bitches, race, and racist is a nice bomb moment. But
yeah.
If anybody has a problem with what I'm saying, if I say Dusty Baker is the best manager in Astros history, if you got a problem with it, that's fine. Tell me who's better.
Yeah, I mean, in the entire club's history, man, I mean, it's hard to argue. It really is hard to argue. I mean, Dusty and AJ Hinch are the only ones to have won a title for this team. Bill Garner got the team to a World Series and got swept in four games. And that's it. And a lot of these managers on this list have been other managers have been part of some, you know, memorable, you know, moments in the team's history. You know, when you think about
Larry Durker, Jimmy Williams.
Larry Durker. I mean, he was the first manager I knew when I got into baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at, man, really started with Larry Durker, and then it went to Jimmy Williams. A lot of these names, it's like I remember them and I don't remember great times. But with Dusty Baker, it's all been good since since he took over. Three World Series appearances, one title, right?
Two World Series.
Two appearances, one title. Okay.
Because he's got the same record as AJ Hinch has. Two appearances, one win.
Right. And, you know, not to totally knock AJ Hinch, but Dusty Baker, and whether you think it's fair or not, Dusty Baker has not unceremoniously been ousted as manager of the Astros.
And that's my
but whether you think that's fair or not, I don't think it was fair.
That's my biggest trump card. You can say whatever you want about AJ Hinch being a better manager, or whatever. When they were pulling that scheme off, when they were stealing signals and hitting the trash can, he knew about it and did nothing to stop them.
Yeah. And I liked the guy. I mean, I liked, especially because he was the first manager to win the title for the Astros. I mean, you know, you're always going to have that appreciation for him. But at the end of the day, he was unceremoniously, excuse me.
You sound like me now.
Relieved of his duties as manager. And whether you believe that's fair or not, whether you believe what happened to him was fair or not, that's, you know, that's what happened. Okay.
Look, I believe,
nothing to change about it.
It was 100% fair. You knew these motherfuckers up here cheating and you didn't do anything about it. Like, you're supposed to be the leader. Like, right. How can I believe in your judgment if you can't do this simple shit, like stop people from cheating? Like, that's it. You stop them early. This story doesn't come out. You still have a job. But you didn't. When it was time for AJ Hinch to step up and be a man and be controlled at locker room, he failed. And the reason that he lost the job in Houston is solely on him.
Right.
And that's what disqualifies him. And it also, that also helps at Dusty Baker's position in my mind, because he came in after all the controversy, after all the talk from the media, from other teams, everything. He came in and nothing changed about the team. They kept winning. They kept going. There was no like stumble out of the playoffs. He's been here 3 years. 3 years is some change. They've been in the playoffs all 3 years. They're going to make it again this year and have another chance to make it all the way to the World Series. Like, he came in, settled the ship, and it's been smooth sailing. The only thing that stopped Dusty Baker was a fucking global pandemic in 2020. That's it. That's how fucking good this man has been as head of this team.
And really, all, like, the lowest outcome that has, you know, been a part, like, the shortest amount of time this team has been in the playoffs was the American League Championship Series in 2020.
And that went seven games.
Right. Yeah.
3 years in, three ALCSs, two World Series, including a ring.
You can't ask for much more in 4 years' time.
That's all. And for anyone who wants to sit there and say, oh, well, he was handed this team so good, anyone could lead into a championship. My response would that be, what the fuck happened in 2019 then? That was the most loaded Astros team I've ever seen. And them motherfuckers couldn't win one fucking World Series game at home.
Yeah.
You had Gerrit Cole, the runner up for the Cy Young in the bullpen, didn't bring him in. Cost them that championship. So, no, it can't be this team is so good anyone could lead them to championship, but also be like the best Astro team we've ever seen couldn't win the championship because the man at the helm. Like Dusty, I mean, AJ's got to take a knock for basically everything that happened from World Series to his firing. That's all on him. Then failing in the World Series in seven. All the news that came out about the cheating scandal, him, everybody found out he knew about it. All he did was smash a TV. Them motherfuckers went right back to cheating, and he just stood on the sidelines with his hands in his pocket, like, okay,
Right.
I guess this is what it is. So no, you cannot tell me that guy was the best manager in Astro history. Because if he was, he would stop the cheating, he'd still be managing them today. It's Dusty Baker by a landslide.
Look, the numbers don't lie. It doesn't, the
Yeah, numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you, AJ Hinch, as sacrifice.
numbers don't lie, and the consistency. I mean, in 4 years, this team has been at the top.
Just no soul, my big papa pump. All right, I see.
Near the top. Well, when I think of Big Papa Pump, I think of Scott Steiner Math
That
and
was at the end when he says numbers don't lie and that sacrifice it spells disaster for you.
that's right, that's right.
Samoa Joe.
But honestly, when I think of Big Papa Pump more than Scott Steiner Math, it would be every promo involving him calling the audiences white trash.
Oh, I thought you were going to say every time he calls Samoa Joe fat.
No.
He's fat!
In WCW, he loved calling those fans white trash. It was always funny. It hit every time.
Good times.
Yeah, I mean, look, because it's sure it's easy to inherit a great, well-constructed team, but it's not easy to ensure that this great and well-constructed team plays to its strengths, plays to its maximum potential. And so far, that's all they've done is play to their maximum potential.
People leave, they keep winning. Springer gone, Cole gone, Verlander gone, but came back.
They
Correa gone.
took a major hit at center field offensively with George Springer's departure. I mean, Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, Mauricio Dubon, and who else has had time at center field since George Springer left? Miles Straw,
Siri.
Siri, they all come, all five or six of those guys combined make up the numbers that George Springer made up as the leadoff hitter. In addition to him being, an above average center fielder.
So I'm like, y'all gotta stop being scary, guys. Come on now.
Yeah.
Right. So that's all I gotta say. I'm being told that me screaming, I'm hooting and hollering and scaring the animals. So.
If anything, the thing that I, based on this list you sent me, how in the hell
Oh, God. Here we go.
Dusty Baker's ranked number one
And what?
on this list that you sent me?
No, I think it go well. Well, you can
Oh, okay, no, you're right. No, it's alphabetical.
yeah, there you go.
Okay,
Because
thank God, because
you can hit every tab up there and you can change it. Like right now I have it from, first manager all the way down to Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker has 298 wins as the Astros manager, puts him sixth all time, winning percentage of 591, which technically puts him third because someone named Salty Parker went 1-0 in 1972.
Great
Yeah, and
baseball
then
name.
yeah, AJ Hinch is second at 594.
Okay. Yeah, this is alphabetical because I was gonna say, how is Dave Clark ranked number two at 4-9 in 2009? But okay, it makes sense. It's alphabetical.
Yeah. Leaving on a high note, Dusty Baker rules all, bowed down to your Dusty King.
Dusty rules, everyone else drools.
Yeah.
Is
And
he the perfect manager? No.
no.
There is no perfect manager.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. You beat me to it.
He's gonna make mistakes. He has made mistakes. Believe me, there have been calls and decisions that he's made that I'm like, man, I don't know. But to call him a bum is
Say he can't manage is like
yeah,
you're
that's nonsense. That's nonsense.
that is racism and fear talking. Stop being racist pricks, grow a fucking spine and watch the games and enjoy
Right.
right, that's all I got. What about you?
That's it for me.
All right, Astros, speaking of the Astros, they're currently tied at four with the Mariners, right? Marlins, sorry,
Marlins.
apology. Marlins right now. So I'm gonna go watch the rest of this game while editing.
Same here.
We'll see you next week with something else. Thank you all for downloading, listening, sharing, all that stuff. We appreciate it. Wherever you listen to this five how podcast, please you leave a 5-star review, 5 stars, nothing less, or else we believe you're a hater. I already got plans for our next two podcasts.
Oh, sounds good.
I think I should just let everybody know. Next two podcasts, we're doing the NFL, NFC preview, AFC preview.
It's that time.
It is that time. It's hard to believe week one of the preseason, and they only have like what, three preseason games now?
Yeah.
So we're gonna get to it. So next week we'll talk about the NFC, then the AFC, and we'll give our prediction for awards, Super Bowl, playoffs, Super Bowl, all that. So we're gonna have a lot of fun.
Can't wait. Sounds good.
Anthony, pleasure talking to you as always, my friend.
As always.
And we, like I said, we'll be back next week talking some NFC. For Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Later.